Welcome to Problem Corner, more than just a radio show. It's a community forum, a marketplace, and a platform for dialogue on the issues that matter most to the people of Juneau and Southeast Alaska. This is a space where your voice can be heard, whether you're celebrating, selling, or seeking solutions. Just go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and add your comments, suggestions, or leave a message. Now, here's your host, Wade Bryson.
Well, good morning, hello, and welcome to another edition of Problem Corner. If you're listening on Saturday morning, good morning to you. And if you're joining us on a podcast, I hope you're having a great day. All right, we can't take calls anymore, but I can get to your email. So if you have an email that you'd like to share with us, go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and that will send your Problem Corner email right over here, and I can read your email and hopefully get you some answers that you're looking for. And again, that's KINYradio.com. Click on the Problem Corner link. And if you'd like to join us on Problem Corner, you'd like to get a phone call from me, include your phone number and tell me that. Hey, wait, give me a call during Problem Corner. And who knows, maybe you'll get lucky and I'll give you a shout during the Problem Corner episode. All right. So the biggest thing to come out of Public Works and Facilities or the school is the latest community request or the request of the community for ideas or community services that could take place in either the Floyd Dryden Middle School or the Marie Drake Middle School. There is a Public Works and Facilities kind of like survey that's out right now. You can find it on the CBJ link. It's also been on the social media page for CBJ. That might be the other place you can find it. And you don't need to have a completely worked out business model. But if you have an idea and you have some basic information, and the best example is I was already looking at Floyd Dryden as a daycare facility. Most needed service in the community. I know for some people that don't have kids, they might not be up to speed on that, but for a community that's trying to strengthen its position as the state capital, for a community that's trying to attract the Coast Guard to have an icebreaker here, providing childcare so that young families can live here in Juneau is a very critical step to grow in our community. So we had already been thinking, where could we stick childcare in these children made facilities, meaning that they made the facilities with children in mind. Floyd Dryden has wing after wing, classroom after classroom, bathrooms that are already set up. And even though we were already looking at how could we put the most amount of childcare in here, Clinkett and Haida was like, hey, how can we put childcare into that facility? So the good news is people were thinking about the childcare ideas, but we want to know everything. We want to know what the community thinks should go into these spaces. A couple of challenges. Floyd Dryden, a couple of folks have mentioned to revisit the discussion about converting Floyd Dryden into City Hall. We have revisited that, and the answer is very simple, no. We're not going to move or consider Floyd Dryden to be the City Hall Capitol. Every single bit of information that we have come across is said that it is critical for your downtown city or your city hall to be downtown. And in Juneau's environment, where we have tourism so heavily taking things over during the summer season, the 6 month season now, removing the hundreds of employees and the various areas that they occupy out to the downtown, that space will only be filled in by tour operators or things in the tourism industry, because that's the industry that's growing right now. To keep at least the pressure back on that, we want to keep City Hall in downtown. And that's only one of the dozens of reasons why your City Hall does belong in your downtown area. However, childcare, in a child-based facility that's located where 65% of the population lives. Now we're talking about a smart idea. I've suggested Juno Animal Rescue, but there are numerous activities that could be housed in that Floyd Dryden building. Marie Drake, little bit of a different scenario. Marie Drake has higher renovation costs because of some of the age and mechanical issues that are in there. So it's, if we wanted to like fully bring Marie Drake up to snuff, that was that $30, $40 million project. Two major issues with Marie Drake from really being a workable solution. Less than 42 parking spaces available, and that would have to be divided up amongst city staff and the public coming to visit. Not extremely practical. The planetarium is located in Marie Drake, and it's one of three or four planetariums in the country that are located in a school building. It would be a travesty for us to lose the Marie Drake Planetarium, and the gym there is a utilized and well-liked gym that has open gym time on it. So, but there is some classroom space. So if you know of an organization, you think, hey, that organization would definitely fit here, or would this organization or this service belongs in here, Public Works and Facilities wants to know about it, so that way we can bring all of that information to the whole assembly, and we'll come up with the best use of these facilities that we possibly can. So yeah, that's the latest to come out of the school district's funding issue. And speaking of school district funding issue, it's a little early in the process, but their $9 million deficit, when they really dug into it, I've heard the recent information was that it was as small as a $600,000 deficit, and they've changed their budget by millions and millions of dollars. And so the question that I would ask previous school boards is, what did they cut that the previous school boards were adamant that could absolutely not be touched? And that was the attitude that got the previous school board into this particular predicament. Because they swore up and down there was no nickels to give up. And when they were forced and new eyes got on that, all of a sudden they found nickels to give up. Imagine that. And so I did want to kind of touch on the proposal or the initiative that's taking place right now to recall two school board members. And while I don't want to, take away from anybody's right to do that, the group absolutely had the rights and the privilege to organize that. The only thing I would share is that that anger might be a little bit misguided or misdirected, that it was previous school board presidents, previous school board board members, and a previous superintendent and a previous facilities director, whatever they call the COO. It was previous people that got us into this fiscal mess that the school district is now in. And I want to give a very positive shout out to Frank Hauser for getting us out of this pickle. It was not an easy task for him, but he's done as good a job as we could have expected. So when you're signing those, hey, if you feel strongly you need to sign them, sign them. But if you keep in mind that the people that absolutely would not make any funding restriction decisions aren't maybe the people that are trying to be outed right now. And I don't know if you followed it. When the petition first went to CBJ Law, there were 8 complaints against one and 7 complaints against another. Everything got removed except for one each, that they needed to be more diligent and more oversight on the budget. And so it really came down to just one reason only. And if they get enough signatures, we're having a special election. So I wanted to point that out to you before we got to that that point there. All right. If you got 2 cents on what should be done with the Floyd Dryden or Marie Drake buildings, again, check out Public Works and Facilities. You can probably find it on the CBJ Facebook page and have your organization submit your ideas. And if you are wanting to participate in Problem Corner, you're thinking, hey, I want to tell Wade my 2 cents on that, go to KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link, and send me those emails over here. And who knows, maybe I could read yours next. I'm going to go ahead and take that first commercial break. I'll be right back with more Problem Corner on KINY. All right, welcome back to Problem Corner. Hey, I think I'm going to go ahead and take a phone call now. On the line with me, we have Mary. And Mary, welcome to Problem Corner. If you'd like, please tell me what's on your mind.
Thank you so much, Wade. Waka. Tuahu Mary Abagasuk. I'm a Yupik, originally from Kuklik, Alaska, on the Yukon River. Which is connected by the headwaters of the Mendenhall Glacier ice field. And so I'm ecologically connected to this place that I live in, Juneau, Alaska, and have spent over 30 years in this community. And I started with the word waka, which has often been translated as a simple greeting, but the original translation is not hello, but what is your business here?
Which is really?
Wow. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. In a polite way, not in like a confrontational way. Is that what they meant? I'm like, what can we do for you?
I think the tone can dictate what the intent is.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it could be sassy, like, what is your business here? Or it can be like, hey, what is, you know, what's the weather? What's going on, like, behind you?
Hey, what's your problem?
yeah, all right. Totally, exactly.
I get it.
Same thing.
Well, excellent.
The crux of it is an invitation to a deeper conversation between human beings, which Yupik means human being, and the culture and the morality that that Yupiks hold dear is that we're all connected as a community of human beings and beings that we interact with, the land and the animals. So what I'm doing here today with you, Wade, is asking our community to consider our humanity. And I want to start with a quote by Dr. Maya Angelou. No matter how negative it is imperative that you learn the truth, not necessarily the facts. I mean that. That can come. But facts can stand in front of truth and almost obscure the truth. It is imperative that students learn the truth of our history. Dr. Maya Angelou was referencing slavery in this quote, but it is apt for what I see as the genocide inquiry in Palestine today. I say that with a very heavy heart, as I've come from a very troubling past of genocide and watching my family members and the people that I love and hold dear self-destruct in many ways from trauma. And then watching this unfold in Palestine, a brutal series of wars that has plagued this population for over 100 years, beginning far before World War One or World War Two, with the foundation of the Zionist movement in 1896, envisioning a Israel colonization fund that was formed around that same time, followed by the 1917 Balfour Declaration by the British, only referencing Israel state with no mention of moving forward with a Palestinian state. And then The British mandate declaring war in 1920, the Arab revolt in 1937, and then what we know of 1948, Nakba, 11,000 Palestinians killed, much in disproportionate to the Israelis that were killed. And then in that same year, 1948, Truman declaring Israel a nation, and creating law in 1950 that was very similar to the doctrine of discovery in the United States, allowing colonizers to purchase, quote, unoccupied land, where many houses were emptied, and a land where families fled. And then, starting in 1967, the illegal occupation of Gaza and Palestine and the wars and conflicts that have come since, in 1973, 1982, 1987, 1993, 2006, 12, 14, 16, 18, 19, 21, and now here we are, 2023, 2024, on day 204 of this massacre.
Wow, you mentioned a lot of dates in there. I know that they've had conflicts. I did not know that there were that many years that had a conflict like that. Wow. Let me ask you this. What can the community do if somebody's listening to this right now and they're like, Mary's right, I want to get involved, I want to help too. What's your ask of the community? How can I let people know how they can help?
Oh, Wade, thank you so much for asking that question. Actually, there is a bilateral call for peace resolution that the assembly will be hearing on Monday. And we'd love for folks to write into the assembly voicing their support. And we'd love for them to come and testify on Monday at 7 o'clock in the chambers, letting folks know the weight that this carries on their hearts. Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, well, Mary, thank you for calling and sharing that with us. And I'll talk with you again a little later on, ma'am. Thank you
all
very
right.
much.
Thank you. Take good care.
All right. That was Mary. We're going to take a quick pause. All right. So now I'm going to take another phone call here, and I believe I have Zara on the phone with me. And Zara, would you care to share with me what's on your mind?
Hi, Wade. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to.
I just wanted to talk about a little bit about what our role as Americans is in the war that is happening in Gaza at the moment, and the increasing role that the U.S. continues to play in that conflict, which at this point is become a clear genocide. In fact, we have entered a final stage of a genocide that's been going on for a while now. There's mass widespread famine hitting the people of Gaza now, especially the children who have not had a full meal in months. We are at day 200 plus of this conflict, and there is no sign of this stopping. And I believe U.S. can play a very big role. And when I say that, I don't mean the government necessarily in this case, but certainly the people in the United States. They have spoken up before, and they have the ability to stand as a people united so that the politicians will start paying attention. Just looking at the numbers, we can talk about the numbers of casualties. We know that over 2 million civilians of a population of 2.3, 2.4 have been bombed and made homeless. They keep moving.
I'm sorry, did you say 2 million?
Yes.
Wow.
I think those 2 million people have been bombed and made homeless three, four different times. They keep moving them from one place to the other. And now a lot of them are trapped in the southernmost part of the Gaza Strip called Rafah. And they're basically, it's a sea of makeshift tents. They don't have tents. People are living there. They're living in piles of dirt and sewer, and they have no facilities. And people, children are dying of all kinds of illnesses, but purely from pure famine. There is no food making through, despite the fact that they are miles of trucks just outside the borders that are not being let through. You know, Doctors Without Borders calls it a man-made catastrophe, and we have to understand that this is, we have a way, we have a role to play, and we have a responsibility to step up and cause this to stop. This is not in anybody's interest, especially not, I mean, I firmly believe that it is not the interest of our Jewish neighbors, or actually certainly not in the interest of our Muslim community either. People see these this genocide being live streamed daily. It is damaging us as a people, as a country, as our soul. And it's going to continue to be a problem which will fester. So I think Americans have a responsibility, especially given that we are talking about $18 billion already given in funding to Israel. And I think just this week, the House approved another $26 billion additional funding, which is our taxpayer money going towards this an unending cycle of conflict and violence. This is money that is not being spent on our problems in Juneau or in the U.S. I mean, just looking at how much squabbling we've had in Juneau on the education funding, it's painful. And on top of it, this is bypassing the Foreign Assistance Act, the checks and balances that we ourselves have placed, the Congress has placed on itself. It's bypassing all of that. So the Foreign Assistance Act and the Leahy laws are there to protect and make sure the money is being used the way we want it to be used. But that's not how it's being done.
They're just handing them checks and lots of money.
Yes. There are no strings attached to the money that's being sent, or very little, not the way it's been intended to safeguard against things like that. A lot of that goes to the military, arming of Israel, and obviously some of that money is all coming back to our own weapons manufacturers.
So they give money to Israel. Israel can buy more weapons from the United States sellers.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, that is definitely not the way that most taxpayers want to see their tax money being used. Hey, that does bring us to the end of our segment here. I really want to thank you, Zahra, for calling in and sharing this information with us. And as Mary was telling us on the call before, Monday night, there's a resolution in front of the Assembly. And so anybody that wanted to reach out to the Assembly this weekend and let them know how they support that. So, Zahra, thank you very much for calling and sharing with us what's on your mind.
Thank you so much, Reid. I appreciate it.
Hey, you have a great day. All right. Well, I think that does take us to the end of the segment. I'll be right back with more Problem Corner on KINY. All right. Welcome back to Problem Corner. In the studio with me now, you know, one of my favorite segments is the news behind the news with our very own local First News team. And my buddy Jordan usually gets to come in here, and Jordan is really good about filling me in on the news behind the news. And everybody knows Jazz, famous Jazz Garrett. She's joined me once or twice. But I am so very excited today. I get to introduce our newest member of the news team, Grace Tomas. Grace,
hello.
Welcome.
So good to be here on the infamous Problem Corner.
Infamous. Okay, I guess you can use the word infamous. Let's get nice and centered on there so
Thank
I can
you
hear
so
you.
Much.
Oh, perfect, Grace. Now we got you. Well, Grace, welcome to the show. You are doing some news stuff, is that?
Yes, yeah, it's been so fun. It was just very serendipitous. I was here because Jazz needed a little bit of extra help while Jordan was off in I think Japan is where he went.
He does like to travel, yes.
Yeah, so cool. And so she needed a little bit of extra help, and I got a little bit of experience reading the news, which was really fun. And it just ended up being something that really stuck, and so now I'm here.
Well, all right. And I've been listening to you. That's how I knew that you had gotten the promotion to news crew. And man, your news reports are just coming off smooth as silk. And
thank you.
What made you want to come and start telling everybody about the news here in awesome Juneau?
Oh, gosh. Well, my parents have been in radio for a really long time. So I grew up around radio.
So kind of
something like that. And my mom used to be a newscaster before she started her full radio career. So I feel so connected to her through this, which is really fun. But it just kind of happened to me, I'll say. But now it's become something that I really, really love. I'm learning a lot. I'm really enjoying it. And it's such a fun community here. So,
right?
Yes.
I do love this place.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'm hoping that you're going to come and join us at some of our assembly meetings, because you want to talk about some real fun. Come sit in a office room with us for like 3 hours on a sunny night while we're talking about the budget.
Sounds
now
great.
We're talking about some fun. All right. So, Grace, I just want to maybe let's hit in the news a little bit.
Yeah.
What's one of your favorite stories that you've covered so far this new in your career?
That has been something. So I'm just kind of getting into that. I did put out a story just recently. There was a protest at the Capitol building about 10 days ago by an organization called Don't Mess With Our Kids. And that was a really fun one to do. It's hard to be unbiased as an individual, I think. So it's definitely a learning curve for me. But there's a lot of legislation out there that is, you know, harmful to women, to my community. And this particular group was campaigning for, how do I describe it? They have a bunch of different ideas. They are anti-abortion. They're anti-queer, speaking about queer topics in schools, and say that they were just rallying outside of the Capitol building.
Are these the book banning group? Is that what you're referring to?
I don't know exactly. The organization, it's actually very interesting. It was a nationwide protest that happened at every single Capitol building on the 13th of April. So they kind of like set that up, and every Capitol building in the United States had a rally of this group called Don't Mess With Our Kids. They're church funded, and they have a lot of feelings and opinions. And it was really interesting to watch and be there and then write about.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Grace, the one thing that I've learned from being on this side of the microphone is that you do get to learn about all of the new and the exciting things that happen in your community. And even though this is a one-way given information, I have learned so much from being in this seat.
Yeah,
I'm really envious of you being at the beginning of your career and getting to do this. So I'm trying to wind mine down. All right, Grace, is there anything you'd like for our listeners to know about you as you share the news and the ongoings with the rest of the community?
Oh, yeah. I'm just so joyful to be here and to be communicating with you and to be embedding myself further into Southeast Alaska as a new resident here. So I'm so grateful to everybody who's welcoming me on board and to the listeners. I hope that the news is going good. I hope that I'm pretty good. So thank you so much.
All right. Well, we can always go to the radio station bosses if we have an issue with you. Is that correct there, Grace?
Yes, you can. Yes.
All right. Well, hey, Grace, thank you so much for coming and gracing us with your presence here in Problem Corner.
Thank you for having me.
I had to throw one of those in there. All right. Grace Dumas, everybody. Grace, thank you so much for joining Problem Corner.
Thank you.
We will catch you the next time, and you can share some news behind the news.
Good luck. I would love to. Thank you so much.
All of your news stuff. All right. That's Grace Dumas. Moss, everybody. If you're listening to this, you can go ahead and give me an email, KINYradio.com. Click on the Problem Corner link. That'll shoot your email over here, and then I can read your email for everybody. And if you have something for Grace, then just send me that email or send it to the newsroom. You know, you can always check things out at KINYradio.com. Click the Problem Corner link. All right, I got an email or two here. I should probably read those. Doug, still looking for a lower unit for a Yamaha 250 outboard with a 25-inch shaft, standard rotation. He's located here in Juneau. If you have the lower unit for a Yamaha 250 outboard, call 419-5205, 419-5205. All right. All right. Well, I've got another call lined up here. I have Dr. Swinton, who's going to join us and tell us how we are going to make Juneau a better place. Dr. Swinton, thanks for joining me here on Problem Corner today. How are you going to make Juneau a little bit better?
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me, Wade.
Glad to.
Yeah, well, you know, there are a lot of ways we can do that, but one thing we're focusing on with my organization, I run Gastineau Human Services here in town.
Yes, sir.
Is by bringing more affordable housing to people who need it. We're working on a big project right now that we're very excited about, where we're hoping to build a 51-unit apartment building that is specifically for those who are on the very low income category.
And what my understanding was that it was going to be focused on recovery and addiction treatment. Is that correct?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Oh,
we're
wow.
hoping that this will be for people in recovery. Yeah, that they have an environment they can go to that is really conducive and supportive of their efforts in recovery.
Oh, and that's the missing piece of the puzzle, because we have really strong vulnerable population services. We have the United Human Health Campus next to the Glory Hall. So we have like all these service providers, but getting people the treatment they needed so that they could, you know, they could improve their lives so that we could focus on the next person that needs help. We didn't have that treatment facility, and it sounds like we might be able to get one.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, it's exciting here at Gastineau Human Services. We launched Mount Juneau Counseling and Recovery just about 4 or 5 months ago, which is a residential substance use treatment program.
Oh, that is
that
so good.
People come to for 1 to 6 months, typically. and then our hope with this apartment building that we're building, that could be a place people could transition from that program or other programs coming out of the halfway house that we run,
oh,
or
wow.
out of the aware shelter, or out of...
yeah, you're listening. Everybody in Juneau has
housing.
Their...
Yeah.
Everybody in Juneau knows their vulnerable population providers, but this is the missing piece that gets people from that vulnerable population into the functional level. I don't know if that's
Absolutely.
Too harsh to say, but oh, I'm glad you agree. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd always heard that
because,
treatment
you know,
was what was needed.
It is. I mean, treatment, you know, we've grown a lot as a society and certainly still have a lot of growing to do. But gone are the days where we're focused on making anyone feel bad for having a challenge. And
okay, good.
And rather, we're confronting the reality all of us have challenges. And isn't it great that we have resources in this community to try to help with this challenge? And we're hoping we're going to make a dent in this so that we can help people have some stable long-term housing who are in recovery.
And Dr. Swinton, every piece of information that I've received that to really make a difference in your community, you have to have treatment facilities. That having somebody who wants to get treatment and we're on the right like week or weekend, they've hit rock bottom, they decide they need treatment, But what happens now that we don't have that 51-bed treatment facility is that that time period comes and goes because they had to wait 3 weeks for a bed somewhere. And by then, their motivation to really hit the ground running and really focus on their treatment is gone because they've gone out and reacquainted themselves with their favorite substances. And so to be able to get people into treatment when they're ready to receive treatment, man, everything that I've heard about it is that's what we've needed to do.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's really exciting. And we are already doing significant things with this. You know, our residential treatment program that we have right now, the short-term program, is up and running. We've got 19 beds for that. And we're hoping that then we can add this last piece then, that they can then stay as long as they need, and they'll have on site the support and the treatment resources to be successful.
All right, Dr. Swinton, that's about our time. I want to thank you so very much for championing this and carrying the torch to get the treatment facility that Juneau and the Juneau residents so desperately need. And from a person who is about to celebrate 6 years of sobriety, thank you to all of the support that you're giving to folks while they're trying to get a monkey off their back.
Hey, thanks, Wade, and good for you.
Right on. All right, Dr. Swinton, take care. All right, that was Dr. Swinton with Gastineau Human Services talking about the 51-bed treatment facility. That's the piece that we needed to really make a difference. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and take that last commercial break. I'll be right back with more Problem Corner on KINY. All right, welcome back to Problem Corner. Thanks for joining us for this last segment. If you'd like to get your email onto Problem Corner, or if you'd like a phone call from me, send me an email right now, whenever you're hearing this. KINYradio.com. Click on the Problem Corner link, and that will send your Problem Corner email right over here. Whether you've got something to sell, something to say, or just want to get something off your chest, KINYradio.com. Click the Problem Corner link. And who knows? Maybe you could be talking to me on Problem Corner, and we can help solve your problems. All right. Like this one, Tanya, really good about letting me know about Clinkit and Haida's Head Start program, which kind of led to from the discussion of how do we do more child care, preschool education. One of the pieces of information that we learned is that when kids get better education in those formative preschool years, they do better throughout their entire schooling career. And if you're interested in getting your kid applied into a Head Start program from Clinkit and Haida, enrollment is open to everyone. And I've got a phone number for you here, 463-7127, 463-7127, if you'd like to get your kids signed up for Head Start and give them a head start in life, as those preschool programs have proven to make their entire schooling career a little bit easier. So, Tanya, thank you for doing that. I wanted to share with everybody that the Maritime Festival is coming up, and thank you to Brian and JEDC for hosting the Maritime Festival, celebrating all things maritime for the community of Juneau. And that's everything from our commercial boat fleets, fishing fleets, the charter fleets, to transportation, to the ferries, to aquaculture, the mariculture, that's the word I was looking for, the harvesting and farming of aquatic products in the Southeast Alaskan waters, kind of like the salty lady oysters. I have a feeling they'll be down there. Get one of their 6-packs or 12-packs. It comes with the shucker, the little glove that you need, some hot sauce and a lemon, and go something that night or the next day. Just bust out this fresh set of oysters that are locally grown here. And that's just another great example of all of the wonderful mariculture activities that are honored at the Maritime Festival. So keep your eyes peeled for that and go down and check that out. I only have one question. Will the UAS whale be at the Maritime Festival? I think it's been spotted there a time or two. All right. Be sure to get down there and check that out. Also coming up, how to run for public office workshop. That is on Saturday, May 11th. And if you haven't begun your, or if you've been thinking about running for office, you haven't started yet, that's okay. We're a little bit early for it. But if you've been considering it, maybe not even this year, attending the How to Run for Public Office in a couple of Saturdays would prep you to have a good understanding of what would be required of you if you wanted to go run for public office. Every single year, there are local elections, and every other year, state elections and federal elections. So knowing how to participate in that system was a great head start to being able to either help a participant get elected, or to help yourself get elected, or maybe even understand the process just a little bit better. How to run for public office. You can register at the clerk's page right now. And this is a free activity. And I believe I'm one of the speakers. And I can give you a little bit of tidbits of advice on how to set yourself up so that you could run for public office if you ever had the desire to. So think about it. If you've been considering it, now is actually a really good time. The enrollment period, or the application period, the filing period, that's what they call it. The filing period happens in the end of July. And if that's when you're thinking about it, you may be a little too late. That might be a little late in the game. But if you're thinking about it right now, a couple of months ahead of time, that would give you enough time to make whatever adjustments you need to make and set your life up and prep it. And even here's the best advice that I can give you if you're thinking about running for any level of public office. Take a member of that office that you're looking at, and then find out all the committees they're on. Because the one meeting that you think of, the assembly meeting or the representative session, that's only one of the meetings that is required. It's the committee meetings that we have even more committee hours than we do regular assembly hours. But you learn about all these things in the committee. So take an assembly member, find out what the committees are, and then spend a month going to every one of those committees that they go to. And so it'll give you a really good idea on what serving would really be like. How much time does it really take? Is it really 20 hours a week every week? Honestly, I can say no. I know I definitely have weeks that have 20 plus hours of assembly time period, but that's only like 1 week a month. The others weeks are not as intense. So if you have any questions for that, how to run for public office, reach out to the clerks. They can get you set up to do that. Or you can just find me and give me a shout here. My phone number's on the city website. And if you were interested in running for office, I could give you some tips and tricks to help you get prepared. So good luck to you if you want to do that. I would greatly appreciate having a whole bunch of people run. It definitely makes the campaigns far more interesting when there is a lot of stuff to talk about. That's a good way to say it. What do we got going on? Speaking of assembly, short-term rentals. Last year, we did a short-term rental registration. The initial registration netted us about 260-280 registered Airbnbs. The latest number was 500 or 600. Not quite that many. But then some of those were, what was the way they described them? Not consistent rentals. So they might rent some periods, but they weren't a full-time short-term rental. But the number was not as large as we thought, which is a good news. 14,000 housing units in Juneau, give or take. And so we didn't want a really high number. 700 would have been, 5% or something? Wasn't quite up there. So that is a little bit of good news that while we do have a handful of short-term rentals, that it wasn't like a 10% number. That's not a number. It wasn't even 5%. So the number was really small. We are looking at how do we control it? What's the best way to control short-term rentals? And since the Assembly is responding to the community's need of housing and the community sentiment of, hey, wait a second, short-term rentals is how we can afford our housing, I really got to compliment. Christine Wohl came up with one of the best ideas. It's not even a new idea, but have a ad hoc committee that consists of members of the public who use short-term rentals and a member of the public who maybe is a renter, that and bring the user groups together to come up with the rules that make the most sense. And one of my theories, when you're trying to figure out how to do something, go to the people with boots on the ground. They're going to have good insight, better insight than what you get if you don't talk to them. And so having a small committee that we could talk about short-term rentals and use the community's feel on the best way to have those restrictions. To me, it was the perfect answer. It was a solution that needed a community answer. Let's get the community together and come up with this answer. So yay for Christine Wohl and the ad hoc committee. Well, someone will chair it. I don't know. Maybe her. Because we will get to, we want to have real answers for that. Do we need to take action, or is the majority of the owners single unit owners that are just trying to get their mortgage payment made? We want to help individuals like that more than hamper it. If you got 2 cents on the short-term rentals, again, KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and that'll shoot it right over here. Before I end the show, I just want to give a shameless plug about my book. I wrote a book and published it in 2018, Minimum Wage to Millionaire. Hearthside Books, the local bookstore, just got new copies of my book in. If you want to get a little bit of insight on how I went from being a fired towel boy at the Juno Racquet Club to self-made guy, I tell all the secrets in the book, Minimum Wage to Millionaire. You can go check it out at Hearthside Books. And hey, that is going to do it for Problem Corner today. I want to thank you all for calling in, tuning in, and hanging out with us. Maybe not calling in. Some people did. All right. Send me that email right now, KINYradio.com. Click the Prom Corner link. And hopefully you're having a good Saturday morning listening to this on the radio or enjoying your day while you're listening on a podcast. But as always, remember, on Prom Corner, there are no such thing as problems, just solutions we've yet to discover. Have a great rest of the day. I'm Wade. I'm out of here.
You've been listening to Problem Corner, a production of KINY Radio. Listen every Saturday morning at 9 or subscribe everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.